Thank you, Jeannie, and thank you, Rob. If Rob didn't pull this out for me, I wouldn't be able to preach. Praise God for Rob. Amen? I'm watching the world change, and I'm not liking what I see. And I look around, and I'm watching the devil work at his finest. I think he's had 2,000 years of practice, and I think he's finally gotten really good at what he does. And he pulls so many out of the church, and I don't ever remember a time that half of our congregation was out at the same time. And I look around today, and half of our congregation is not here. And, you know, that old devil may pull me out of here, but if he's going to, he better bring it. Because if I have to be carried onto this stage, then so be it. Carry me onto the stage. If I got to preach sitting down, so be it. I'll preach sitting down. Whatever I got to do. But I just want to take the minute before we start the sermon and pray for some of these families that are out today and afflicted. And I have to use a list. We have so many. But we have Tamara's out sick. We need to pray for Tamara. Lori's in the hospital. We need to pray for Lori. Danny Simmons is having some eye problems. And we need to pray for him. Donna has made it, but she's not feeling well, and we need to pray for her strength. Barbara and Rick are both sick. We need to pray for them. Our Uncle Nacho is very sick. We need to pray for him. Shannon is not feeling well today, and we need to pray for her and her family. And we need to pray for Kathy's mother, who has just been released from the hospital and not doing well at all. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, with all authority, with all power, with all desire, God, your word said, by your stripes they are healed. I ask that you go into every circumstance, every situation, God, and I ask that you touch all of these people, Lord, that they may come back to the house of God. God, that they could honor you and worship you. Help them rise above their illnesses, rise above their sicknesses, God. Help them fight that which is upon them, Lord. Lord, I hope that they'll call some people today and get some prayer. I hope, God, that they're watching this. And I hope, God, that they know that they've got to stand stronger and fight harder. Because your adversary, the devil, is not making it any easier on them. But Lord, we believe you'll touch them, and we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We ended 2023, and this is part two of the 2024 sermon. And I love the technology that we have today, because if you missed last week's 45-minute introduction, so you're going to get a lot of scripture today because you had a 45-minute introduction last week. But you can go on Facebook and Working Faith Ministries of South Florida and Facebook, and you can listen to the sermon at your will. You can go in the back, and they'll give you a CD. Ask them for a CD. They'll make you one. There's no reason to miss a sermon with today's modern technology, praise God. It's kind of a double-edged sword. You have access to it, but you also know you don't have to come to church because you can get it. But we're not going to talk about that. The reason I keep it is because we have people that watch all over the country, and they can't be here, and I want them to hear the Word of God. So praise God. We ended 2023, not 2022, but 2023. We ended 2023, And some, as I showed you in Scripture, as I closed out last week's sermon, I showed you in Scripture that some came in the beginning of the year, they were one way, and by the time 2023 closed out, they had grown and they had matured in God and their lives changed. And yet we had others that came, and at the beginning of 22 and at the end of the 22, they were the exact same when they got here as when the year ended. And then we had a group of people that came, and I get to see this because I stand up here 3 feet higher than you, so I get to see everything. they came and they were on fire for God, and they were wanting to grow, and they were wanting to learn, and they were wanting to mature. But by the time the end of the year came, they were further away from God than they were when they started the year. I showed you the scripture that shows that's going to happen. And we're calling this the year of new level growth. God gives me a theme for every year, and this is the year of new level growth, which simply means it doesn't matter what level you're at. God wants to take you one level higher. There is no limit to how many levels God can take you. Just when you think you understand Scripture, He'll give you another meaning of the same Scripture. I have been here on this stage for 12 years, have never repeated the same sermon twice. It's been a new sermon every week because it's inexhaustible. I can find another 12 more years of sermons that are different from the first 12 years that I've given you. How many can say, I've been here and I've never heard the same thing twice? Right? Because God is full of levels, and He'll take me to another level, and I get different understanding of Scripture the more and more I study it and understand it. I've heard a lot of people say this. This cracks me up, by the way. I'm sure glad the holidays are over. Am I stepping on anybody? Yes, I am. I'm glad these holidays are over. Yes, they were hectic. Yes, they wore me out. Yes, I haven't been to so many parties in the whole year as I was the last month of the year. And they are tiring. But you want to know what? I even caught myself saying, I'm sure glad it's over. But you want to know what? I'm not glad it's over. See, my new beginning has to continue. There are many that went in with the new year with expectations of certain things in their life, and you've already forgotten all about it. It's already been a weekend, and all of a sudden the things you talked about and the things you said you were going to do and the declarations you declared and the desires you expressed are already on the back burner. Because why? Life got complicated again. You took a day off from life and you got your head together and you realized you needed to make some changes, and then you turn around and life gets hectic again and devil throws 8,000 things at you and you got so many pressures and it just doesn't get any easier. I'm not glad it's over. My new year began December 19th, as I told you last week. And it's not going to be over for me. I'm going to hold on to it. I want new level growth. I don't want to leave 2024 the way I entered into 2024. Well, you're the pastor, you're the bishop, and you know this, and you know it doesn't matter what I know. It doesn't matter who I am. I have an obligation to my God to mature and to grow this year. He's called for new level growth. And I'm going to figure out how to get it. And we're going to begin. I hope if you missed part one, part two will make more sense to you if you'll go back and listen to part one. But we're going to start with this scripture. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace. I love that word grace. And we have so many biblical terms that we've heard all of our lives and really have no idea what they mean. If I took a poll and if I had passed out a piece of paper and a pencil and asked everybody to define grace, I guarantee that half the people couldn't define it. Half the people couldn't express what grace really is. But I'll explain to you what grace is. Grace is not punishing someone that you have the ability to punish. That's grace. Let's say my friend Ronnie upsets me. I can throw him out of my house. Right? Well, not literally. I mean, he... But if I choose to let it go, I've shown him grace. Do you not understand that's what your God has done for you? You have done this, and he overlooks it and says, my grace is upon you. And what we as humans don't realize is God's made it very clear. He says the grace that you're going to receive is dependent upon the amount of grace that you give. And there's too many people walking around wanting everybody to get what they deserve, but they don't want what they deserve. You should do this. Really? Well, let me sit down and explain what I should do with you. And let's see if we still want to play this game or not. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. You see, growing in grace and knowledge means you're going to apply that which you've learned. If you don't have any grace, it means you're not applying what you've learned. You're trying to run around holding everybody accountable for that which they say, that which they do. And if you do that, you're going to live a life so angry, so distraught, so upset that you're never going to be able to grow in God. He's never going to be able to reach you. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen is another Christian term. You know to say it after the prayer. But amen means so be it. In other words, it's a seal. I've sealed it. You've sealed it. So be it. A lot of times in prayer, after a group prayer, and I'll say, Lord, I seal every word spoken. That's what amen means. I'm sealing this. God says, grow in grace and in knowledge, and it's sealed. That's what he wants us to do. That's what he expects us to do. He's not expecting you to leave 2024 like you've entered into it. There are many people that are out there getting a bad start today. They've got to turn it around. They've got to turn it around. They've got to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord. I often so much wonder, you know, when we hold things against people, what it does to our bodies physically. What it does to us mentally. Because we don't know how to let somebody off the hook. Ronnie has to let me off the hook every day. And it's okay, he does. He understands. Next scripture. I love this one. I can tell if you're growing, if you're maturing in God, I can tell not by the words coming out of your mouth, because many of you learn how to memorize the words. They don't mean anything. They're not from the heart. You just learned some eloquent phrases. You don't impress God with those eloquent phrases. You don't impress me. You don't impress anybody with those eloquent phrases. That's great. You know them. Praise God. Yay. So what? Okay. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with what? God and man. You see, you can't grow in God and not grow in man. You can't separate the two. Because Jesus is in each and every person. The Holy Spirit's in each and every person. And if you're going to grow in God, you're going to grow in men as well. And I can see people that start to grow because all of a sudden, people they didn't like, they start liking. And people that didn't like them start liking them. That's Scripture. I'm watching it before my very eyes. I'm watching Scripture come alive. Families that were feuding are no longer feuding. Families are getting together and having fun together and enjoying each other. And one in every group. All right. This is true. What I'm telling you, I get to watch Scripture come alive. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to watch people that in 2022 wouldn't even talk to each other. And now they're hanging out having barbecues at each other's houses. And I'm like, yeah, duh. And you say, well, that's Jesus. Well, check this out. Next. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. You cannot grow in the Lord and not grow with people. Don't tell me you're maturing. Don't tell me you're growing and you still can't get along with the guy on the cross, the pew of the church. It doesn't work that way. You are not growing. You are not gaining stature. Not with God or with man. I can see. This is Scripture, God. This is what God says. People wonder why their life is not blessed. Psalms 133 tells you that without unity, there are no blessings. Without unity, you will not be blessed. Go read the chapter, Psalms 133. Hebrews 6:1 says this. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ. There are some elementary teachings going on in the churches. I have been to some churches and I thought I was in kindergarten. I left not knowing anything that I didn't know when I got there. I'm going to tell you very clearly, very plainly, if you leave here today and you didn't know anything different than when you got here, there is something wrong. Check yourself. You may not be in the right place. Because when you get in the right place, God has something for you. Something's going to touch you. Something's going to, you're going to just like Marisol sit there and she saw that scripture and she says, wow, I get that now. I didn't get that last year. This is a new year. I understand something different. It was good to come to the house of the Lord today because I learned something. You heard people react to that scripture because it touched their hearts. I tell people, I might preach for an hour and you might get something for 3 minutes, but that's good. You got something. You should be able to get something with each and every sermon. There should never be a sermon that you're bored out of your mind and you leave not knowing anything unless you came in here with the wrong attitude and God's not giving you nothing if you come in here with the wrong attitude. You got to come in here with an expectant heart. You should be praying when you walk through the door. God, I have an expectant heart today. Open me up. I have an expectant heart today. Don't come here out of obligation. Don't come here. I'm here, God, because that's what I'm supposed to do. No, come here with an expectant heart. I'm here, God. What do you have for me today? What are you going to show me? What are you going to teach me? Help me to be a blessing to somebody today. Sometimes your very presence blesses somebody else and you don't even know it. Let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ. Don't expect me to get up here and tell you how good you are. Expect me to get up here and tell you, you know what? You're as filthy as a rag. That's what God said. And that's the truth. It's He that washes us clean. I'm a righteous man. Now, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with my Lord and Savior who made me a righteous man. Because by myself, I can assure you, I am not a righteous man. Ask Ronnie someday. Ronnie's known me for 50 years. He knows the trouble I can get into. He knows the trouble I can get him into. He knows. But God cleaned me up. And people expect the pastor to get up there and say, "Whoa, am I a sinner?" No, not a sinner. I sin, but I'm not a sinner. See, before I knew Christ, I sinned. That was my nature. That's just what I did. Christ got in me, cleaned me up, made me righteous, and now most of my sins are just mistakes. I don't do it consciously. I don't do it because I want to do it. Before, I wanted to do it. There are so many things in my life that I don't want to do anymore that I used to do. Ronnie will tell you that too. I don't want to go here. I don't want to do this. You're not going to get me to do this, and I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I don't have that sin nature anymore. That used to be my nature. It's not my nature anymore. Now I have to choose to sin. I have to choose to let the devil in. I'm protected by Christ. And so are you. Your nature changes. Praise God. But God's expecting you to move up a level. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. In other words, you know what? We don't have to keep right there at the beginning repenting and over the same thing over and over again. We have to move on. We repent and move on. You know, I get people that they can't let something go. They just hold that thing forever. They hold it so long that it becomes their identity. And my bishop called me over one day and he said to me, he said, "I want you to go talk to this guy over there. He just lost his son." No, I'm sorry. I rephrased that. He said he lost his son. Didn't say just. He said he lost his son. So I went over and I started talking about to him. I didn't have to bring it up. He brought it up. And he's crying and he's telling me how he lost his son and how, you know, all this was. This went on for 30 minutes. When I got back away, my bishop caught up to me and he says, "Okay, what did you learn?" He tested me all the time. And I said, "That man's really hurting. He just lost his son." He said, "Is that what you think?" I go, "Yeah." He said, "He lost his son 25 years ago. I was in mortified shock because I have been with people who just lost a loved one, and I know the pain that goes with that because I've lost loved ones, and it is painful. It's more pain than you can imagine. If you've never been through it, you will. We circle of life. You're going to lose somebody. It's painful. But the people that I've lost 20 years ago, I'm not still affected the same way. Yes, I'll always remember them. Yes, I'll miss them. Yes, I'll always love them. No, I'm not going to be in grief constantly 24/7 for 25 years. I will not stay in grief. I'm going to move on." And what God is saying here is there's people that never move on from the foundation. They lay the foundation and they never build anything. You ever walk by and just see a slab? That's what he's saying. You're just a slab. You never built a building. You never put up a wall. You never put up a roof. You never put in a door. You never put up a window. You just stayed right where you were. He says, you're not going to grow in maturity if you stay where you are. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death. No, stop doing those acts. Somebody who stays right where they are refuses to change anything about their life. They just continue walking in the same sin, doing the same old thing. The only difference is they proclaim they're a Christian and act like the devil. Had a guy came to one of my services all the time, and he would brag about what a good time he had in the strip clubs. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, you are the most immature. You have stayed right there. You have never left the foundation. You stayed in the foundation. You glorify the thing that's messed you up. And finally, I couldn't take it anymore, and I had a little talk with him. Didn't you used to be rich? Oh, yeah. I had two Mercedes, and I had a big house, and I had this. And I said, well, what do you have now? Well, now I don't have them anymore, and my house is in foreclosure, and I've lost my cars. Uh-huh. I said, and didn't you used to be married? Well, yeah, but my wife left me. Don't you think it might be time for you to glorify something else than the devil? He don't come to our service anymore. People don't like truth. You want truth? Come. You don't want truth? Don't come. That's your choice. But don't expect anything else from me but that. I can look at your life and see you're glorifying the wrong thing, and I can tell you you're glorifying the wrong thing, but it's up to you to change. Most of us want a better 2024 than we had in 2023. I want a better 24, and I had a great 23. One of the greatest years of my life was 2023. I had some great changes in my life. I had some wonderful things happen to me in 2023. But you know what? I have an expectant heart. And I'm expecting God to move in my life in 2024. I'm expecting to change. Let's move on. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Know that this needs to be one of your prayer. When God puts somebody in your mind, and you think about, I'd just be driving around, and all of a sudden I think about Moses. God just, whew, like a flashing sign, just through my head, the name Moses. That's for me to say, God, I pray that you fill that man with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that only the Spirit can give him. Doesn't mean he has a problem. Some people think when they think of somebody, they're going through a problem. Not necessarily at all. He might be having a great day. But yet God put his name across my mind. God ever put a name across your mind, or am I just speaking to myself? What do you do about it? Sometimes you don't know what to pray. This is what you pray. God, fill them with the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding that only the Spirit can give them. They can't get it on their own. The Spirit has to give it to them. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Why? Because that's what excites God. Something happened to you, you get excited about? Like, you get a new car, you're excited. Right? Yes? No? Okay. Don't go quiet on me. Right? you hear from somebody you haven't heard from in a long time, and it was exciting to hear from that person. It was exciting, yes? Right? Ronnie calls me up and says, hey, I'm flying down. That's exciting to me. I haven't seen him, and he's coming down to see me, and we're going to hang out together. That's exciting to me. We might not do much of nothing one day. We might sit on the couch and just talk all day. That's exciting to me. I ain't got to do something 24 hours a day to make him happy. We're just happy to be around each other. We're getting ready to go to the range. I'm excited about that. If I can only talk him into being a target, it's exciting. No, you know why it's exciting to go to the range with him? He's an expert in guns. He knows things about guns that I don't know. I've got guns I've never shot. Yeah, you can come. Yes, you can come. We're going to have fun. We're going to go to the range. We're going to go, it's going to be on Friday. I said Thursday before, but I have a dentist appointment, so it's Friday. We're going Friday to the range. If you want to go to the range Friday, give me a call. We're going on Friday. Why? I'm excited to go because I get to shoot some guns I have never shot. I get to shoot some of my old favorites. It's going to be fun. I'm excited. Something's got to get you excited. Something you do, something in your life should be. But what about God? What gets God excited? Praying for other people excites God. When you pray for somebody else, it excites God, like I get excited when Ronnie says, hey, let's go to the range. Or Texas Day Brazil. That excites me too. How many have been to Texas Day Brazil? Oh, that's the place right there. That's the place. They just keep bringing you food till you cry uncle. You don't even have to get up and get it. They bring it to you. She's excited. They bring you, and they don't care how many times they come to your table. Usually it's about 25 times for me, right? And they have like 10 different kinds of meat. Would you like top sirloin? Yes, sir. Would you like, and it goes on and on and on, and it never stops. It's just an amazing place. I don't eat all day when I go. I refuse to eat breakfast or lunch. And then, you know, because normally, you know, you spend $30 on lunch and $40 on dinner. Well, I just spend $70 at Texas Day Brazil. It's all the same. Don't cost nothing more. I'm excited, but that's what I want to do is excite God the way God lets me get excited over the desires of my heart. We all have desires of the heart. God put them there. He put them there so you could have a fulfilling life. Could you imagine how boring life would be if you never had a desire of your heart? If there was nothing you ever wanted to do, nothing you ever wanted to see, nothing you ever wanted to be, you'd be a vegetable. But God's put desires in your heart. I have a great desire in my heart to see my daughter. When I get to see my daughter, I'm just excited. My son, not so much. No, I'm kidding. I see my son every day. Almost every day. I'm always with my son. But my daughter spent 5 years in California and I didn't get to see her. COVID came. I didn't get to see her for 4 years. It was terrible. We were literally, I don't even know the word for it, but we were so disillusioned, and it was so sad for Marjorie and I not to be able to see our daughter. And then we get a phone call, said, Dad, I'm moving back to Florida, and we're like, yay, God. And she's 2.5 hours away, and we go see her. Either I go see her, or she comes and sees me, but we see each other every month now. And it's amazing. I'm excited every time I get to go see her. This excites God. so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Can I tell you something? And you might as well mark this down. If you're not doing the things of God, you're not going to mature in God. One of the times Ronnie came over here to visit, went back home, and he saw a horrific accident, and he pulled over to help the people. And I don't remember the whole story, but the lady was very sick, and out of his mouth said, "Can I pray for you?" And he prayed for her. That excited God. That excited God, because Ronnie just did what he was created to do. That's what you're created to do. Do you think God created you to watch you run around like a fool? No, God created you for purpose. God created you to have fellowship with him. God created you to do good work. I could spend an entire Sunday explaining the good works God expects you to do. He has great expectation over you, like you have great expectation over him. It's a two-way street. And God wants you to pray. Because if you start praying for other people, then you start bearing fruit. And in every good work, you grow in the knowledge of God. Why? Because you're opening up. You're releasing, and now you're open. Hold on to something and let somebody try to give you something. How do you receive it? Your hands close because you're holding on to something. But when you open and give, now you have an open hand for God to give back. See, God refills what you pour out. You pour out, God refills you. All right, next scripture. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. In fact, the reality is, by this time, you ought to be teachers. No, you've been here for 12 years. You're supposed to be a teacher by now. You're supposed to know some stuff by now. You should have applied some things to your life. You should have grown. But you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Because you didn't apply it last year, you need to do it again this year. You need milk, not solid food. You should be at a different level than you are. You do not have new level growth. You've been stagnant or you've went backwards and you need to start all over again. We have people that need to start over again. I was talking to somebody last night, and they were talking to me, and you know what they said? They basically said this: I need to start over again. I was one way, and now I'm another way. Yeah. You do. It happens. It's okay. God's the God of 7 times 70 chances. God's the God that never gives up on you. That's a God that will restore you. That's a God that will bring you back to him. But you have to make a step forward. He's not chasing you down. He's willing. Are you? Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. In other words, they don't understand what I'm telling them. They're the quickest to get offended. The quickest to get upset about what I said. The quickest to try to disprove me. And that cracks me up all the time. I got people that go home and open up their Bibles, and that should be a good thing, but it's not a good thing because they're doing it to disprove what I said. They're doing it to make me out a liar or a false teacher. Well, you can do it till you turn blue in the face. I'm teaching out of the Scripture. I put it on the screen so you can see that I'm teaching out of the Scripture. You're not going to disprove me. Go ahead and try. But what I advise you to do is go home, search the Scripture to prove me right. I heard what Pastor said. I want to see it for myself. I believe what he said. Let me go check it out. Let me see if what he's saying is right. It's got to be right. Then God will open your eyes. Then God will show you something. You're supposed to check me. Test the spirits. But do it in the right manner. Amen? But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. If you yet do not understand the difference between good and evil, how do you expect to mature? We can rationalize anything. I deal with people who rationalize stuff all the time, and they want to come and rationalize to me, which doesn't fare well for them. Because I tell them, you're rationalizing something to make it fit what you want it to fit. I have a God that I have to fit him. He does not fit me. I have a God that I have to walk under his protective hand, but I don't expect his protective hand to follow me. I have to dig into him. I can distinguish good from evil. I know that if I'm going to tell you a lie, it's evil. I know if I'm going to do this, or if I'm going to go here, or if I'm going to listen to this joke, that's evil. You want to tell me a joke, a prejudiced joke? I know that's evil. Automatically, my mind goes to Scripture. My mind says, God said, if you don't love the brother that you see, then how are you going to love me whom you don't see? Don't be a liar. Don't be a liar. I know good from evil. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. What that's saying is you're not on this walk alone. God's going to equip you to do it, to take this walk. I walked on this stage many years ago, not a clue how to be a pastor. And my greatest excuse to God when he called me to be a pastor is, God, I don't know how. You see, I didn't go to seminary. Funny. Because God's got such a sense of humor, I now have a PhD in theology and never been to seminary. I said, God, I've never been to seminary. How can I be a pastor? I can't. And a prophet, he sent a prophet to me. And the prophet said, stand up. I stood up. He said, God said to tell you that just because you haven't been to this seminary or that seminary and you're not steeped in tradition and all of that, he says, I forget about all that. I'm going to use you to speak my truth. And isn't that all God ever wanted out of anybody, is to speak the truth? He's tired of pastors getting up here sugarcoating his word. He wants his word to be his word. He doesn't want me to add anything to it, and he sure don't want me to take anything away from it. God told me once, he said, you cannot belong to the church of the pick and the choose. I said, what are you talking about? He says, picking the scriptures you want to teach, choosing what you don't want to teach. Got into a fight with God. Wanted me to preach something, and I said, no. And if you want the sermon, it's called A Picture of God's Love. Ask them for that sermon. It's A Picture of God's Love. Is that the name of the sermon, Pastor Donna? All right. Well, I'm not going to talk to you, but I don't have time to go into the sermon, but I refuse to teach it. And God said to me one day, go to church. And every now and then he says to me, go to church. He doesn't mean my church. He means another church. Go to church. I'm not listening to him. So he sends me to church. Go to church. So I call my armor bearer up and I say, listen, God said I have to go to church. Find me a church. So he found me a church on a Tuesday night. He said, I found a church in Miami. It's Tuesday night. I'll pick you up at whatever time and we'll take you there. And I said, great, thank you very much. And I go to church, and what's the guy preaching? The very thing God told me to preach, and I refuse to preach. And he's messing it all up. And I'm looking at him, and I say, God, this ain't right. He says, that's why I told you to preach it. All right, God, I get it. I'll go preach it. And I came back, and I preached it right away. It's called A Picture of God's Love. Listen to the sermon. You'll understand why I didn't want to preach it. But God equips whom he calls. He doesn't call the equipped. He's not waiting and says, you know, if that Oki will get 4 more years of schooling, I'll ask him to be a pastor. What? I think I'm going to put my word in him and ask him because he'll do it. He'll be willing to do it. Everybody sits and they talk about their limitations and why they can't do this and why they can't do that, and you don't understand. All God wants you to do is be willing, and if you're willing, he'll show you how to do it. He'll equip you to do it. And I started this preaching thing, and I got on the stage, Ronnie, and I said, whew, that was a great sermon. Now what do I do? Because 7 days come fast when you're a preacher. I got to have another sermon ready in 7 days. Oh, my Lord. And I would sweat, and I would stress it out. And I'd go to my office and sometimes sit there for 2 hours waiting for just an inkling of what to preach about. And Margie would tell you, I used to be there 10, 12 hours. And so finally I said, God, I surrender. I surrender. Here's the deal. You give me something to say, or we're going to have 45 minutes of silence. I don't care. It's not on me anymore. I surrender. And God hasn't shut me up since. And I don't no longer stress whether I'm going to have a sermon next week or not, because I know I'm going to go to my office and God's just going to start pouring what he wants me to say. That's the God we serve. I'm about out of time. We'll finish this scripture. Through these he has given us the very great and precious promises, that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You got to get past yourself. The greatest truth to life is that you don't live your life for yourself, you live it for others. It's not about what I want to do, it's about what God wants me to do. If it was about what I wanted to do, I'd be on hole maybe 12 by now. Instead, I got dust on my golf clubs. It's about what God wants me to do. Let's finish up. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. You have faith in God. Now add goodness. Can people look at you and say, that's a good person? He's a nice person. He's a good person. He's a gracious person. He's a generous person. And to goodness, add knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. Those that cannot control themselves have missed the boat. You should be able to control yourself. Ronnie and I were having a conversation this week. And we were talking about self-defense and the legality of shooting somebody and all of that stuff that goes with that. And he said a profound thing that I had to think about for a while. He said, oh, I can take a butt whipping. I'm not going to kill somebody over a butt whipping. I might have the right to take out my gun and shoot them, but if it's just going to be a butt whipping, I'm not going to do that. Why would I kill somebody over a butt whipping? That's self-control. He said, now if they have a gun, then I have to shoot them, or if they have a knife, I have to shoot them because my life's in danger. But if it's just going to be a butt whipping, I'd rather take the butt whipping than to kill them. That is self-control. I went into the pharmacy, I think I told you this a few weeks ago, and I had total self-control. I was so proud of myself. I had total self-control because the pharmacist, and I went to the pharmacist, and I said, you guys called me, and this is da-da-da, and they said, we don't call people. Now I'm thinking, was it a prank call or did they call me, right? So I say to the lady again, I say, you know, you guys called me, and this is, and she said, we didn't call you. So I pulled out my phone and showed her that they called me. And then when I did that, she said, oh, yes, I see that we called you. I said, okay. Then she said, and I said, okay, this is what the conversation was. She said, that's not what we told you. And I'm thinking, you know the conversation. You couldn't even admit a minute ago that you called me. You weren't the one I talked to, but yet you're going to tell me what was said to me. David, I wanted to... I said, you know what? Cancel it. And I turned around and walked out, and I never raised my voice, and I never got angry. I just decided not to deal with the stupidity. And that's okay. To self-control, add perseverance. Perseverance means I'm going to stick with this thing. I've made a decision to stick with it. I'm going to keep coming to church. Pastor might be getting on my last nerve, but I'm going to come anyway. I'm not going to let him run me off just because he hurt my little precious feelings. So what? I'm mad at him. So what? I'll get over it. That's perseverance. Perseverance means you can't make me quit. That's perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. You see, there's a building block foundation that you have to follow if you want new level growth. Let me finish it with this scripture. And to godliness, mutual affection. And that's what I've been seeing around here. I've been seeing a mutual affection that did not exist in early 23 and begin to flourish in late 23 and is a beautiful thing today. See, I might not agree with the way you do it, but that's okay. I might not agree with your theology, but that's okay. I think you might be a little too loud, but that's okay. I think you're a little obnoxious, but that's okay. I want to see how many of these Marisol admits to. It's okay. That's what mutual affection is. It means I'm going to allow you to be you. You allow me to be me. I'll allow you to be me. And we can have a mutual affection without offending each other and without getting mad because you didn't meet my expectation of what I thought you should do. And to mutual affection grows love. And all I want to say to you is God said this. I will know that you love me by the way you love others. Don't get any plainer than that, does it? For if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The key word being increasing measures. Father, we thank you for the word. Lord, we pray that you grow us, God. We pray that you continue to grow us. New level growth is what we look for this year. And God, thank you. Thank you for starting us on the path. And now, God, help keep us on the path as we go closer and closer to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful Lord's Day. I love you all.